Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Future of Everything listeners. I'm Ben Cohen, and I write the Science of Success column here at the Wall Street Journal. We're trying something new and bringing you a new feature based on my column. Take a listen and let us know what you think. Drop a line to foepodcast@wsj.com. In January, an Alaska Airlines flight was forced to make an emergency landing when a door plug blew out of a Boeing 737 MAX 9 at 16,000 feet and left a hole in the side of the plane. This month, the Chile-based LATAM Airlines experienced a mid-air incident that caused a plane to lurch downward, leaving at least 50 people injured. But here's the surprising thing about flying. It's actually pretty safe. Airlines produce fewer deaths per mile than cars, ferries, trains, subways, or buses. The chances of dying in a plane crash are roughly the same as getting struck by lightning while listening to this podcast. In fact, flying is close to the safest it has ever been. The biggest U.S. commercial airlines have now gone 15 years without a fatal crash, and there have been more than 100 million flights and 10 billion passengers since then. From the Wall Street Journal, this is The Science of Success, a look at how today's success could lead to tomorrow's innovation. I'm Ben Cohen. I write a column for the journal about how people, ideas, and teams work and when they thrive. Today, we're looking at how hurtling through the sky in a giant metal tube became the safest method of transportation. It wasn't always this safe. Between 1998 and 2008, the fatal accident rate of U.S. commercial aviation dropped by 83%, and the American system became a model for the rest of the world. But even back in 2008, the country's current safety record would have sounded not just incredible or inconceivable, it would have sounded completely insane.
I expected to see improvements. I didn't expect to see this level of improvement. This has been stunning.
That's William Voss. Currently, he works as a consultant in the aviation industry. He's been a pilot, a mechanic, an air traffic controller, and one of the most important people in the field of aviation safety.
Yeah, I've done a few things. Back in the 90s, I actually was an executive with the FAA, and I went on from that to be an executive with the International Civil Aviation Organization, the UN organization that deals with aviation safety globally. I also went on to be the CEO of the Flight Safety Foundation.
Voss had a front row seat to the revolution in the sky that has saved countless lives. That revolution depended on pilots, flight attendants, and dispatchers voluntarily reporting safety issues and admitting their own mistakes. And not just the fatal ones. This system aims to prevent accidents before they happen. The old system explained accidents after they happened.
Before, it was a lot of being out in the accident site and then seeing what went wrong. Well, there's a limit to what you can do with that, because what you want to do is go back and say, well, what were all the things that led up to it?
The reckoning began after a series of accidents in the 1990s, including TWA Flight 800, which exploded and crashed into the ocean off the coast of New York in 1996. Aviation officials soon found themselves staring at some disturbing math.
There was concern that as aviation continued to grow, if we didn't improve the accident rate, we were going like, well, we're going to be having a major airline accident once a week very soon, and the flying public's not going to put up with that.
One major jet crash a week was not just unimaginable. With each one amounting to roughly $1 billion in losses, it was also unaffordable. After that TWA Flight 800 crash, President Clinton started the White House Commission on Aviation Safety and Security. This commission, along with regulators and industry officials, set about designing a radically different system.
And what was revolutionary was that it was very, very focused. and very quantitative. It wasn't just some old guy saying, I think we should do this next.
What they did next wasn't just a technological innovation, though there have been many of those in aviation in the last 30 years that have vastly improved airplane safety. Their next steps were maybe even harder because they were really about changing human behavior. They were asking people to report their own mistakes.
And that innovation, if you will, really started turning things around. We got better at understanding safety and risk and dealing with the indicators of risk without waiting for the accident.
How did regulators get everyone, ground crews, pilots, CEOs, to voluntarily admit when they got things wrong? And what made this system so successful that it now provides a model for other high-risk fields? That's after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Imagine you've made an error at work. Not a big mistake, a small one. A file misplaced. An email sent on the wrong day. And as luck would have it, everything turned out fine. No grave consequences. In fact, maybe no one even noticed. Would you tell your boss? I don't know that I would. To be fair, my errors don't put human lives at risk. But airline pilots were sort of like me when the Federal Aviation Administration implemented new self-reporting programs in the 1990s and early 2000s. Pilots weren't exactly in the habit of disclosing errors that didn't lead to accidents or serious incidents. In fact, they had an incentive to conceal their trivial mistakes. If nobody knew about them, nobody could be punished for them. So how do you convince those employees to self-report? William Voss says it was up to management to eradicate the fear of retribution.
So management, instead of being sort of like the Grinch that stole Christmas or someone, you know, demanding more output, more output, more output without understanding the consequences, they now have tools and, if you will, a bit of a conscience to understand that they have to balance production with protection. And that's a thing called safety management systems.
The FAA's safety management system really took off in the early 2000s. It's a formal, top-down, organization-wide approach that includes systematic procedures, practices, and policies to reduce safety risks. According to Voss, this sort of system doesn't work without the support of higher-ups, not just regulators, but company executives and managers.
That's been a real leadership thing that management has to do. They have to go off and say that, okay, if you make an honest mistake, I'm not going to hold you accountable for that mistake if you report it. And I'm your boss, and for the trouble of reporting this event, I'm not only not going to discipline you, but I owe you an explanation of what I'm doing to make sure it doesn't happen again the same way.
This change didn't happen overnight, and it required unlikely supporters like airline CEOs in order to work. But it did work. The last fatal crash involving a U.S. major carrier was in February 2009, when a Colgan Air commuter flight went down outside Buffalo and killed all 49 people on board. Since that crash 15 years ago, large U.S. airlines have suffered 2 fatal accidents that killed 2 people. Not 2 fatal accidents a year, like the 2000s, or 2 per million flights, like the 1960s. Just 2. That's 2 too many, of course, but it's also something of a miracle. The voluntary reporting, data mining, and safety practices that have transformed airlines have not been as widely adopted by manufacturers like Boeing, which made the 737 MAX 9 jet in the Alaska flight and the 737 MAX 8 planes in a pair of 2018 and 2019 overseas crashes that killed hundreds. There is often a culture of silence inside factories that deters employees from speaking up and pointing out defects. Many of the industry's recent crises can be traced back to nuts and bolts quality problems and production oversights. Today's airline operators, though, have been conditioned to this culture of transparency. They don't get fired for reporting errors. It's not reporting errors that is grounds for firing. The U.S. aviation system has become so amazingly, unexpectedly safe that other industries in the business of fatal risk, from healthcare to trucking, are hoping to bring lessons of the sky back to hospitals and drivers on the ground. For now, airline companies and regulators continue to look for ways to not only maintain their safety record, but improve it.
Right now, it's common to have crews sit in the back of a cockpit and simply watch what's going on. Look at when something comes up, like a threat, weather, thunderstorms, or just an omission, an error, and then write down how it was corrected or caught. Because part of the trouble is only so much you can do when you have a safety record like this. You're going to have to go upstream because otherwise there is no data.
Now we have qualitative and quantitative data that measure basically anything that can be captured on a plane. Once again, airlines had to be persuaded to share proprietary data and pool sensitive information. But once again, it made us safer. The better data and smarter predictive tools are meant to find hidden vulnerabilities that might not have been spotted until it was too late. It's one of the ways that airlines don't just learn from their mistakes, they learn from them before their mistakes, which is worth remembering the next time a pilot tells you,
"All right, folks, sit back, relax, and enjoy your flight."
But maybe keep that seatbelt fastened, just in case. And that's the science of success. This episode was produced by Charlotte Gartenberg. Michael Laval and Jessica Fenton wrote our theme music. I'm Ben Cohen. Be sure to check out my column on WSJ.com. And if you like the show, tell your friends and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite platform. Thanks for listening.